So we're in this Christmas series, Merry and Bright. We're studying seven biblical characteristics of positive people. So merry will be the positive characteristics. And then we're going to learn how to use that characteristic or those characteristics to be bright, meaning reflecting the light of Jesus in our everyday life, especially as we ramp up into Christmas, because we're going to be around a lot of friends, family, and people. And basically, we need to be bright lights for Christ. So today, our topic is merry or positive people spend time in meditation. I believe that when we do that, we're going to be equipped to shine bright for Jesus. So I want to clear up some misconceptions, because a lot of times when Christians hear the word meditation, they're like, oh, isn't that what New Age people do? We don't meditate, okay? It is true, New Age people do meditate, but by definition, to meditate is to think deeply or focus one's mind for a period of time in silence. So meditation is really a biblical concept. And I think if we're thinking deeply and focusing our mind in silence on things of the Lord, meditation is actually going to help us, okay? So some of you may say, well, I don't know how to meditate. Well, we're going to kind of clear that up. But the truth is, you really do know how to meditate, because you really meditate all day long. Whether you realize it or not, you, in some senses, meditate all day long, because you're thinking and focusing deeply on many different things. We meditate on problems we have. We meditate on issues that we're dealing with. We meditate on work that we need to accomplish. We meditate on hobbies that we enjoy to do. We spend most of our time thinking about ourselves and things related to us. So we can say we meditate on ourselves kind of all day long, right? And if you're content and everything's going well, you may be positive or merry. But if you're not content and things are not going well, you'll probably be miserable and negative if you are meditating on the things of yourself. So my focus today is this. I want to show you first the benefits of daily meditation, and then I want to show you what to meditate on to be merry and eventually shine bright for Jesus. So let's start with the benefits. The benefit, the first benefit of meditation is we gain personal peace. Do you realize this is an anxious generation? Do you realize that? It's an anxious generation. Actually, according to current research, people seem to be reporting high levels of anxiety today compared to previous years, with studies indicating a rise in anxiety disorders, particularly among millennials and Gen Z. They're often cited as experiencing higher levels of anxiety compared to older generations when those generations were in that age group. This is potentially due to factors like increased social media, academic pressure, economic uncertainties, and obviously we all know many of these things were sparked on by a global pandemic that we went through, right? So this should not be a surprise, because we're actually inundated with everything that's going on in the world. And this generation that we live in right now, we can access those things at any time, any day, right? Any day, any night, any time, we can get those things. Back in the day, you weren't able to access those things as readily available, right? So past generations did not have as much connectivity or knowledge of events around the world, so therefore they experience less anxiety. Now, we desire to have personal peace to combat anxiety. And the scriptures actually teach that meditating is one of the ways to gain personal peace. Let's look at Isaiah. This is back in the Old Testament. The prophet Isaiah says, "You keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts you." Our minds need to stay fixed on our trust in the Lord. And obviously, that has to start with a relationship, doesn't it? We have to have a relationship with the Lord to actually stay fixed on the Lord. That relationship starts with the gospel message, that we are sinners in need of a Savior. Jesus is that Savior who died on the cross to pay the price for our sins. Jesus rose from the grave to prove that he is God. And the scriptures teach us, all who believe will have eternal life. All who believe will have a relationship with him. All who believe will be saved. So our trust starts with the gospel, but then if you're already a believer, it continues daily with trusting him. Trusting him in all areas of our life. Do you realize we can't really experience a sense of peace if we don't trust God with everything? Like, things are going on in your life, right? Things are going on, things that you can't control, things that you wish were different. And if you don't trust God with those things, you're not going to have peace. You're going to be anxious about those things. You're going to be overthinking those things. You're going to be upset about those things. But the truth is, when we focus on the trust we have in the Lord, and then we take the situation and plug it in, what happens is we experience a sense of peace. And we're going to kind of get to that later on when we talk about how to meditate or what to meditate on. Our next benefit of meditation is spiritual growth. Colossians 3, 2 through 3 says, set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on the earth. For you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. So when we set our minds on the things of God, we don't get distracted by all the things in the world. We end up spiritually growing. Now, this is difficult, right? It's not easy to not think of the things of this world around us because we live in this world. But notice what Paul says here. He says, you have died, meaning your old worldly life should not be in control of your thought life. Your new life in Christ needs to be at the forefront of your mind. Paul tells us kind of an added benefit of fixing our mind on the things of the Lord. In Romans chapter 12, he says this, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. You see, when we meditate on the things of the Lord, we actually position ourselves to know what God's will is for our lives. You'll never figure out what God desires from you if you don't look to God to find out. Okay? If you look everywhere else, if you look at the things of the world, the world is not going to point you to God. I could tell you that much. The world as we know it is not going to point you to God. There'll be glimmers of hope and light here and there, but for the most part, we need to focus our attention on the things of the Lord. Which brings us to the final benefit of meditation, which kind of goes along with this verse, and that is clarity. Okay? In Psalm 49:3, it says, my mouth will speak wisdom. The meditation of my heart shall be understanding. You know, part of the reason why we lack clarity in life is because of all the noise. All the noise, all the chatter, the lack of quiet. We need to step back. We need some clarity. Meditation is actually going to give you more clarity on what you should do, how you should respond, the things you should say, the way that you should act. So now that we know the benefits, let's look at how we get there. Or in other words, what should we meditate on to reap the benefits of peace, of spiritual growth, and of clarity? Now, there's going to be a lot of other benefits. I just wanted to really narrow it down to those three areas. There's going to be a lot of other benefits as you meditate. But here is what we want to do. We want to look at how to get there. What do we meditate on? And the first, and you probably knew the answer to this one, that is we meditate on God's word. Now Joshua 1:8 says, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, then you will have good success. Now most people, I think this is a fair statement. Most people want a degree of success in life. Would you agree with that? Nobody really wakes up in the morning and be like, I want to be a failure, okay? you want a degree of success in your life, but people have different standards of success, don't they? The biblical view of success is obedience to the Lord. Now, you're not going to hear that out in the world, right? Obedience to the Lord, there is success for you. And that's not normally how people look at success. So this passage tells us, be careful to do. Be careful to obey what God says. I know this world has many different definitions of success, but in God's economy, success is obedience to Him. Look at what Psalm 1 says, our scripture reading for this morning. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And on it, on his law, he meditates day and night. So to be blessed is to be happy, or for our purposes in this series, to be merry, right? The merry person finds their delight in God's word. That person meditates on it day and night, meaning what the word says is in the forefront of our minds, day and night. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked. So they're not focusing in on the world. They're not focusing on the sinful things of the world. They're not focusing in on the trials and the tribulations and the worries of the world. But that person's delight is in God's word. The psalmist says it this way. Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. Do you love God's word? Are you like, I can't wait to get into God's word? There's many things that we can't wait to do, right? But how much do you actually love? And this is a challenge. This is a push, right? How much do we really love to get into God's word, to dig in deep, to study, to find out what he has to say, to learn more about him? Do you love hearing from God? Do you love hearing from him? Do you realize that the Bible, his word, is our life book? And not only does it have the truth about salvation, but the word actually has answers to our deepest questions. It gives us guidance to live each day. It teaches us how to act and interact with the people around us. God's word gives us peace, shows us how to spiritually grow, gives us clarity. You know, many times we look to the world, right? Oh, you know, I'm dealing with this issue. Let me Google it and see what online counseling has to say and this and that. Let me Google it and see what psychologists have to say. And you know what? A lot of times you will find some truth weaved in. And I can guarantee you this. When you find that truth, you could trace that truth. Yeah. We'll set you free, okay? Here we go. So, who knows what that was? And I didn't get shocked by it, so that's good. But the truth is this. When you find truth outside of the scriptures, here's what happens. Start looking back to the scriptures. And that's where they usually found it. Okay? Maybe they didn't find it there. Maybe they came to a conclusion, but we point it back to the Lord because he is the one that gives us guidance. He is the one that actually helps us to realize what to do in each and every situation. Now, God's word should be what we meditate on. So here's what I want to do. I want to give you two tips on two ways to meditate on God's word. The first is this, simple. Hopefully, you're spending time in your devotions each day, right? So you read a passage, spend some time meditating on what the passage is teaching you. Part of your devotion time needs to be stop and think. And you know, I love like the Through the Word Bible app, the YouVersion Bible app, and all the, you know, the different devotionals there. And then, you know, we read the Bible through the year, you know, the Bible recap, all that stuff. And all that stuff is great, it's helpful. But if you get to the point in your year or your devotions where you're like, okay, gotta get through this, check the box. Okay, I finished. Got to get through this, check the box. I finished. Got to get through this. Check the box. I finished. You're not really spending time thinking about what you're learning, what God is trying to say. You're not meditating on it. So part of your devotion time needs to be stop and think. Don't just read it to get it done, okay? Could you imagine if you're married and your spouse was like, okay, I did my time, check the box, see you later, be back tomorrow, okay? Could you imagine that? It would not be a good marriage, I could tell you that much. Think about it now. Let what the word has to say soak in. Let it live in your mind for a few minutes, maybe even a few hours. The second is this, and this has kind of gone by the wayside from my perspective, and it's mostly due to the technology and the devices that we own, and that is something called scripture memory. Scripture memory is so unbelievable. Scripture memory is so unbelievably important to us as believers. It's committing God's word to memory. Let me ask you a question. If someone were to say to you, show me through the scriptures how I could be saved. If you can't, you need to start memorizing scripture. Okay? If you can't, I think it's back here somewhere in the Bible, okay? I think it's on the last page. I think there's like the sinner's prayer. No. If you can't walk somebody through scriptures for them to come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, you need to do some scripture memory, okay? You need to do some scripture memory. It should come out of you. You should be able to quote those verses. And here's what happens. When you memorize scripture, here's what happens. No matter what you're doing throughout your day, taking a walk, driving to the car, sitting in the yard, mowing the lawn, cleaning the house, cooking dinner, all those things, you could be thinking about what God's word has to say. So obviously, the plan of salvation, that's a good thing to start remembering, memorizing. But the second thing that you really need to memorize are, what are some things that you're struggling with? What are some sins that you're dealing with? If you have a recurring sin in our life, which we all probably struggle with different things, right? You need to find the scriptures that talk about that sin and commit those to memory. And I'll tell you, here's what happens, and I'll tell you by experience. You go to do that sin, you remember that verse, you're like, ugh, come on, why did that pop up? I'll tell you why it popped up, because you committed to memory and the Holy Spirit's using it to keep you from going the wrong way. So it could be that. Could be other things. People have questions. You know, we did that question series. There's no new questions. I could tell you that, okay? They get mutated a little bit here and there, but pretty much for the most part, since I've been in ministry, I've been answering the same questions for decades, okay? And guess what? You can memorize scriptures that have to do with those questions. Then you wonder, how do I find the scriptures? Well, this is where technology has been beautiful for us, hasn't it? Okay? We have a resource link on our website. You can look, and there is so much information that will help you to find the scriptures that will help you to answer those questions and help you, most importantly, to meditate on. See, whatever your task is during the day, when you memorize scripture, you can meditate on that scripture. You don't even need to grab your phone, grab your Bible, because it's already there. Next, we need to meditate on God's deeds. So we meditate on God's words. Next, we meditate on God's deeds. I remember the days of old. I meditate on all that you have done. I ponder the work of your hands. You know, this is one to remember when you're out in nature, right? The work of God's hands. I love being out in nature. I love looking at the ocean and seeing what God has done. A few weeks ago when I wasn't here, we were in Arizona and we visited the Grand Canyon. If you've ever been to the Grand Canyon, it's very amazing, okay? A lot of people said to me, well, the Grand Canyon, it's amazing, okay? So the full day that we had there, that we were able to do some hiking and different things, at the end of the day, I knew this was happening because we were there on the day of the super moon, and the super moon was going to rise right after the sun kind of started to set. So here's a picture. Doesn't do it justice. But that right there is the moon, and that's the Grand Canyon. It looks absolutely fake, okay? It's unbelievable. And when you look at it, you're just like, my mind is blown right here. It's like amazing to see this. And again, pictures don't do it justice. But this is the work of God's hands. And I know somebody's going to be like, actually, it's erosion. Okay. It's the work of God's hands, okay? Don't care about your actuallys, okay? Here's the thing. When you see something like this, it should point you to God's deeds. You know, it's interesting. Thankfully, we went at a time when it wasn't like high season to be there. But this area that we caught the moonrise, there was a lot of people. I would say maybe 50, 75 people. Everybody's taking pictures and like standing by the railing. Some people were going outside the railings. I was like, these people are nuts, okay? But when this was happening, I noticed something. People were still talking, but they were kind of like whispering. They're like, oh, look at the moon, man. Oh, look at that, look at that. I'm like, the moon can't hear you. So, but it's just something about this just put a sense of peace in the situation. You know, the psalmist says, I will ponder all your work and meditate on your mighty deeds. It's not just the Grand Canyon, it's anything. It's the littlest thing. You ever look into somebody's eye and see how detailed their eye is? It's the little tiny things. You ever go to the beach and like scoop up some sand and look, and then you see a miniature little shell? You're like, what? That's how small those used to be, right? You see that stuff and you're just like, this is amazing. You know, I know it's been cold, but hey, you know what? Bundle up. Get outside. Just meditate on God's deeds, the things, the works of his hands, the things that he's done. Think about his mighty work, the things that he's done, all the blessings now, not only nature, but all the blessings you have in your life, the things that he's done. A few weeks ago, we talked about gratitude. Every good and perfect gift is from the Father above, right? Think about those things. See, here's what happens. When we don't center ourselves, when we don't start thinking about those things, here's what happens. I'll tell you what you're going to think about. You're going to think about all the things that annoy you, all the people you want to complain about, everybody that's wrong. That's what you're going to think about. I don't know that from experience, right? This is what we think about. We fill our minds. Like, what can I complain about today? Or what has God done? Think about his deeds. Not only could we meditate on what God has already done, we can meditate on the promises that he gives us, can't we? Psalmist tells us here, they speak of your glorious splendor, of your wondrous, no, that's wrong again, okay. My eyes are awake before the watches of night, that I may meditate on your promise. Thinking, okay, what has God promised me? You know, there's thousands, literally thousands of promises in the scripture. Some are directed to specific people groups. Some are directed to specific people. But there's many promises in the scriptures that are directed to believers. Okay, the scripture, we can meditate on these promises. These are things that are done. Okay, even though maybe you didn't receive it yet, guess what? God is outside of time, right? So these promises are already fulfilled, which is amazing. The promise of eternal life. Jesus promises eternal life to all those who trust him. The promise of comfort. God promises to comfort believers in their times of trial. He's near to the brokenhearted. God's promises of peace to those that pray. When we pray to God, that anxiety goes away and that peace comes in. God supplies all our needs. God promises to meet the needs that you and I have. Remember, not the wants necessarily. The needs. God's promise of protection. He protects believers' hearts and minds. God's promise of working out good things for those that love him, for his children. God's promises, I'll give you a way out of temptation. You're struggling with a sin. There's something going on in your life and you feel like, no, I'm going to fall to that temptation. He promises, no. There's a way out. He promises his constant presence in our lives. Okay, the Holy Spirit comes and lives inside you. You don't have to say, God, please come here today. Okay, he's there already. Here is how you can daily meditate on God's deeds. Make a list. Make a list, okay? You want to kick it old school? Get some paper, get some pens, and write a list. This will bring you peace, spiritual growth, and clarity. Meditate on God's deeds. Finally, we meditate on God's presence. Now, I think this is the point in which meditation becomes more of a reality in our lives, because basically we're quieting ourselves in order to experience the presence of God. And people are like, oh, no. What's that like? Do I hear him? Does he tap me on the shoulder? Experience the presence of God is just actually just quieting yourself and knowing that he is with you. We know that God is always with us. As believers in Christ, we have the Holy Spirit at all times. The Spirit doesn't come and go, but in the noise and distraction and lack of meditation, we can't hear him or experience him. We can't hear him or experience him because there's too much going on. There's too many notifications. There's too much noise. There's too many people talking. There's not enough space for me to get away from everything and everyone. You know, there's an account in which this happens to a woman named Martha. This is a very famous account. You've probably heard this before, but we're going to go through it, and I want to point out a few things. And it says this. Now, as they went on their way, Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she went up to him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me. So here we have two sisters, Martha and Mary. One welcomes her into her house and the other one sits at Jesus' feet. So here he has two sisters and one has an issue with the other. Big surprise, sisters having issues with one another. It must only be in this account in the Bible that this has happened, right? So here's the thing. Martha was distracted with much serving. Notice, she is distracted by a what? A good thing. Is it bad to serve? When you start reading this and you see that Martha's preparing everything for Jesus, you're like, right on, Martha, good job. You want to be a good host? The God of this universe came to your door. You want to make sure he has a sandwich, right? So here's the thing. She got distracted, though, with a good thing. With a good thing. Think about this. Think about your life. Do you get distracted with good things? I know I do. We get distracted with good things all the time. Work, it's a good thing. We need work, right? We need to work. We're created to work. We need work to provide. We get distracted with family. We love our family. We want to be around our family. We get distracted with friends. We love our friends. We want to be around our friends. We get distracted with our hobbies. Any good thing that we feel a blessing from can actually be a distraction from the best thing. You get that? Any good thing, because we get involved in it. We obsess over it. And it becomes our little G God, right? We spend so much time on that and obsessing and meditating on those things. It can be a distraction from the best thing. So what does Jesus say to her? He says, but the Lord answered her, Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her. What is the good portion? Well, the good portion is spending time or meditating on the words of Jesus. The very words that come out of his mouth are God's word, because he is God. See, Martha, she got distracted, right? She was anxious and troubled. Everything needs to be perfect for Jesus. A good desire, right? But she missed out. I mean, when I play this out in my head, I imagine this little house with like an open floor plan, Jesus sitting on a recliner and Mary sitting at the bottom. And then you could see the kitchen through that like pie window, right? And she's washing dishes and looking over her shoulder. Is that Mary, right? That's how I think about this in my mind. I'm going to go tell Jesus she's in trouble, right? So here's what happens. Mary chose the good portion. To sit at Jesus' feet and listen to what Jesus had to say. He was doing his ministry. Mary got word of what Jesus was doing, the healings and everything. That got his attention. And when Jesus walked in that house, Mary was like, I'm not moving. There is no way I'm letting anything come in the way of me hearing from him. I'm ignoring everything else. His presence brought her peace. I would imagine some spiritual growth Jesus was teaching, and I'm imagining some clarity in her life. Now, here's what I want to do. I want to challenge you this week. I want to give you a challenge. Spend 10 minutes a day this week meditating. Meditating on God's word, meditating on God's deeds, meditating on God's presence. If you need to take a picture of it so you don't forget, please do so. Okay. The truth is, you need this time in your devotional time. I know many of you spend time reading the word. I know many of you spend time praying. But do you quiet yourself? Do you just quiet yourself? Whether it be on a walk somewhere, whether it be in a room, it might be in your car. Maybe you have no other quiet places but your car. Okay. Whatever it is, just meditate. Think. For 10 minutes a day, think on things of the Lord. You think all day long. Maybe for some of you, I know I like to practice this because I'll wake up and then I don't feel like getting out of bed right away. So then I'm like, okay, now here's a good time to really just start praying and just start thinking on the things of the Lord. Because guess what? If I don't do that, you know what happens? I think about everything I need to do all day. Maybe all good things, right? Maybe some fun things, maybe some important things, maybe some issues that I need to take care of, but I start thinking about those things. So I'm like, okay, you know what? Before my feet hit the floor, I want to center myself, get myself straight, okay? Get myself into the mindset that the Lord desires me to be in. Now, with this challenge, some of you might be asking, what about the bright part, okay? How can I shine for Jesus if I'm quietly meditating? Well, that's easy. After you're done, just go tell everybody. I meditated today. Spiritual flex. No, okay. No, here's what's going to happen. Here's the bright part, okay? The bright part is this. Your time in meditation will help you to be a merry person that God desires you to be each day. Here's what it's going to do. It's going to center you on your purpose of being a light. You know that maybe you wake up in the morning, you're like, oh, I got to deal with this person. I can't believe it. They make my work so terrible, this and that. Well, maybe in that time of meditation, God's going to say, that person needs me. I put you there because they need me, and you're supposed to be the one that's shining bright for me. So what's going to happen is this. It's going to center you on your purpose of being a light for Jesus because it's going to bring you peace. You're going to realize that some of the problems and issues that you've been obsessing over and that have been stealing your joy are not as big and insurmountable as you thought they were, and God's going to bring you some peace in that situation in life. He'll bring spiritual growth in your life. You need to weather trials, and you need to be obedient during those times, right? You need to learn things from God. I'm always amazed on how God will teach me something that prepares me for something that happens, right? Oh, man. Sometimes it scares me, right? I'm like, oh, Lord, why am I learning this? I don't want to know what's coming down the road because you've taught me this part, right? It will bring clarity. You need to navigate decisions. You need to have clarity in the opportunities that you have in life. Because of that, you're going to be able to shine. You're going to be able to be a bright light for Jesus because you spent time. You didn't just check the box. You spent time meditating on God's word, God's deeds, and God's presence in your life. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for this day. I pray for each person here. I know that for some, sitting quietly meditating is very difficult. Distractions continue to flood their minds. I just pray, Lord, that you would just help them, guide them, assist them in their desire to spend time at your feet, choosing the good portion like Mary did. So we know no one can take that away from us. We're thankful again for this day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.